Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I am not Stacey June. I am, in fact, Christy Mercer. Old mate is not here. No, she actually is. She's sitting 30 seconds away from the microphone. Don't talk. It's mine.
Ribbit.
No, I am here to welcome you to your summer. Whatever you're getting up to. Maybe you're taking a little break. Maybe you're working straight through. Whatever you are doing, hoping that you're loving your life. Sook. This will be a bit of a collection, I suppose, of some of our fave chats, mine and Stace's favourite chats, as well as yours from right across the year. Far out, we were reflecting the other day on the fact that 2018 has been a banger when it comes to the guests that we have had come through, not just our podcast channel, but also Stace's house. It is a very personal space that her and her hubby Ben constantly open up to our guests, which is why I guess you'll always feel that sense of real openness, actually sitting down, having a chat, and maybe hearing different bits and pieces from celebs and people that you follow online that you've never heard from before. And that's something that we're mega proud of. So hopefully you enjoy this with a bev, or maybe not. Enjoy. Okay, bye.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. Hello. You're a very rugged up Stacey June today.
It's gotten old, man.
How's your little hat? It's so cute.
It's from Tasmania when I went with the girls last year.
I'm frothing it.
Man, girls trips are underrated. They become less and less as you get older and they become more important as you get older.
Well, I've been trying to organise one for about 6 years and everybody's like, because it's very hard to get every single person at the exact same time to be ready and keen enough to go to the same place.
Yeah, you just got to get less friends.
Yeah.
That's what I've done. Over the years, I've got two besties and the three of us could make it work. It's so much easier than a group.
I think you're right, though. You've just got to be like, this is where it's happening. If you can, awesome. If you can't, catches.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think there's an ability to do that if you do them more regularly too. Because if you're like every couple of years, you can catch the next one. You know, it takes the pressure off.
Mate, we've been planning our 30th overseas trip for the past 4 years and already one of the girls has gone, oh, I don't think it's going to work. And that was like a year ago. And I'm like, we're not turning 30 for like 3 years. We've already dismissed that it's not possible.
Yeah, I can't make it in 2020. I'm sorry, I'm busy. Yeah, I've got a few friends like that. I'm slowly fading them off.
I don't have that many to fade out.
Welcome to our pod channel. This is where we hang most of the time, drop different shows throughout the week. Yesterday, we dropped the catch-up. The 411's coming up this week as well as a Posse podcast tomorrow. But today, we sit down or we share a sit-down chat that we had with a particular woman that I got to be honest, I wasn't like when you said let's talk to Talitha Cummins, we're talking about, I had to kind of Google and go, all right, what can I find out about Talitha? And there was a lot.
I think it was probably about, I don't know, a couple of years ago when she started talking about the fact that she was an alcoholic. And it was really refreshing to see somebody that from the outside you think totally has their shit together, is stunning, is young, is this driven career woman.
Well, she's quite successful too. She's a journalist for a lot. She's been a journalist for a long time. She did all of the morning shows.
Yeah,
she
did
a lot of work around all across the country.
She's done that for a long time, but it was only a couple of weeks ago that kind of, she resurfaced talking about, they did this big special on 60 Minutes about why is alcoholism amongst mums driving.
Or Australian Story?
Might have been Australian Sober. It was definitely 60 Minutes as well, a couple of weeks. Because I was watching it on Sunday on the couch a few weeks ago. And that's when it jogged me and thought, we need to get her on to talk about this. It's mega important.
Well, I'm so glad you did because I just felt such a rapport with her. She kind of goes into also falling, which very, very on the kind of the boundary of falling pregnant and then having a real issue with Channel 7. Mm. They had to settle out of court because there was obviously there's some sort of discrimination going on. Yeah. But we didn't touch too much on that because there was just so much depth to talk to her about her and not necessarily the things that have happened to her, but how the things that have happened to her have shaped her. Alcoholism is one of them. That story throughout her career, she'd worked for 16 years as a journalist, and that kind of was where things were as up until last year, really.
The cool thing I really dug about this chat was how honest she was about the journey of finding who she truly is.
And still is.
Yeah, and still is continuing to do that. So there will be something within this chat with Talitha that you'll definitely connect to.
100%. She's also a passionate mental health advocate, doing a lot of work across keynote speaking and all of that stuff. So I think this is a really good time for women. And I know that sounds like such a cliche kind of throwaway comment, but the more and more we get interesting women in this show, the more and more I'm inspired by everybody, like, just paving their own path. And Talitha is certainly one of them. I left the chat feeling inspired.
Same.
And pleased that I had met her.
Yeah. If you really like it too, share it with a mate, tag a friend, send them the link. Would really appreciate it.
Here's the chat. Welcome to the podcast channel, Talitha Cummins.
Thank you for having me. Great to meet you both.
We're glad that you're here. Just don't watch your head on the Thinker Girls fluoro just behind you.
Yeah, on the pointy, sharp thing that you've just put next to my head.
Had a few run-ins there. The bottom of our logo being the speech bubble. It's quite lethal, that point.
It's a point. It means business. Like, talk out of here.
Business.
Oh, my God. We've got a lot of things to talk to you
so
about.
So many.
You're right up our jam, I've got to say. Like, there's just a lot of things. And it's bad. It's kind of bad because you've gone through real heavy shit, and that's why sometimes it's like we want to talk to you, and it's like that's unfortunate because
yeah, but that's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's us.
We've also gone through heavy shit, which we're like,
I am.
But I'm not sure if that's celebrated amongst everybody.
No, I've talked so much about my shit that I'm more than happy to talk to you about it as well.
Let's re-talk about that shit. All right, let's do that. No, we're really stoked that you're here. You have a very good energy about you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's quite familiar. You know, sometimes when you'll get to know people pretty quickly, but you know when you first say hello, there could be like a bit of awkwardness.
Yes.
I didn't feel that from you.
Even okay, that's great.
Hi. Even some though you put the wrong batteries in, there was tech problems. You know? There's plenty of room for awkwardness in those moments.
No shit.
That is something that I do. So,
So you've been a journalist for some time.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start out? Because we've done the gruesome regional run. Were you straight into the big cities or?
No, I did the gruesome regional run as well.
Oh, talk to us about it.
Yeah, but I loved the gruesome regional run. Mm-hmm. I started out on the Gold Coast. I originally wanted to be a criminal psychologist and work in prisons.
That is a very popular thing to originally like.
Yeah.
I feel like I never find out people end up doing it, but a lot of people start there or about putting it as a uni preference.
How old were you when you thought about that? I think it was all those murder shows though, for reals though.
Maybe it was around that time.
It's fascinating.
They're really glorified.
Fascinated by, you know, Silence of the Lambs and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, I ended up doing journalism and I went to Griffith Uni on the Gold Coast and then did a whole heap of work experience and got my first job in Cairns of all places.
Ah, holla, Cairns girl over there.
Cairns as well.
My first radio job,
Not a bad place to start your career,
not bad. Continue.
Do you know the Woolshed Nightclub? Are you familiar with that? So I was up on the podium.
Handles on the roof to hang on.
Yeah. Like, that's stunning. Stunning work.
Because you can stand on the tables and dance. My two best mates that I met in Cairns, both journos, one of them was on radio, one of them was telly, met and got married, but they met at the Woolshed.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's a stunning meeting story.
What a big story. Yeah.
Were they hanging off the handles at any point?
I mean, you don't go there if you're not going to commit because you'll get stepped, your head will get stepped on. Those tables are fucking high.
I legit want to go there.
Ooh,
really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a special place. Special memories from that place.
And shout out to people that have followed me to here. Because there'd be a heap of listeners from Cairns.
Yeah.
Hannah is one particular one been a listener.
Hannah, God love you, girlfriend.
From the very first show I ever did.
Some loyal followers. Yeah,
we've picked up a few loyalies from around the traps.
Well, you deserve to. Mm.
So talk to us about from there, from hanging off the rooftops of your wool shed.
It was an interesting time because I was a really shy and introverted girl when I went into the industry. So I would have been about 22 or 23, living at home, pretty lacking in self-confidence. Mm. So I got there and I remember VIPs, obviously weren't uncommon in Cairns, and then Prime Minister John Howard came to town and I was sent to cover his press conference with all the big journos who'd come up from Sydney and Melbourne. And I remember having my little hand in there in my microphone was shaking and just thinking, oh, shit, this is terrifying, And I just got a question out. But it was the first time I sort of realised that anxiety was going to play a pretty big part in what I'd chosen as a public career.
Talk to us about that moment. Was there ever a point where you go, why am I doing this? Because so often you hear so many, like comedians or actors or, that maybe are naturally introverted people that have this element of, extrovertedness that comes out through their career, or and it's almost like popping on a mask and doing something different.
Yes.
Was there a part of you that went, why am I doing this if it's such a full-on thing for me to, experience?
For sure. There were so many times throughout my career I'd be sitting there. You know how you just get that little reality check every now and then if you're doing something quite surreal?
Yeah.
I'd be sitting on the Sunrise desk with Koshy, or I'd be doing a live cross overseas and standing, getting a countdown in my ear and think, oh, my God, what am
it's
I
trippy.
Actually
It's trippy. It happened to me
here?
On Family Feud.
Yeah, she almost fainted. Yeah. Legit.
Yeah, because we were on air. We got our dream job. Everything happened quite quickly, as it does in the industry. And we were asked to do celebrity.
All-stars.
And we were like, we've barely been on a show. Oh.
So it was like Kiss FM versus Gold FM.
Yeah, something like that. So we... But the twist of the story is 4 months before, I was working as an online producer on Family Feud.
Oh.
So I was in blacks on the other side of the camera trying to earn a bit of a buck as I tried to get the Thinker Girls off the ground. So all of a sudden I have – and so I was mates with everybody.
Yeah.
And I looked around, and as Grant Denyer starts his intro package, I'm going – what the fuck?
Yeah. She said to me under her breath, she goes, oh, I'm going to faint. I'm going to faint.
Yeah, it was legit panic attack.
Did you faint?
No, I didn't. But I just put a bottle of water up, and Dal, one of my girlfriends, was like, you can't drink water. Of all people. And I'm like, nah, mate, I'm no good.
Yeah.
So she brought the lollies and calmed down and but
so
it was,
what I mean, right?
Totally.
About that feeling.
Totally.
I have those fade outs sometimes. I would get them on air all the time.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Not anxious, but sometimes where I'd take more than a second to respond to something you'd say.
I would 100% pull you up on that too.
Yeah, always.
I'd be like, hello.
Hello. Are you with me?
Because everyone else is thinking it.
Because I would just zone out.
You haven't answered.
I'd zone out sometimes and just I do it on Sunrise every now and then.
So you think that's a form of
anxiety? No, but I do have this out-of-body experience, right?
Same idea.
Where, it's not an anxious or a nervous thing. It's more of a what the fuck. I do it on Sunrise
often.
Well,
then you've got to be very thankful that then you're not an anxious person, because that begins
can
and then for
you.
The rest of us, it then kicks in. It gives you an opportunity to then freak.
Right.
And if you're anxious, you freak fast.
Because I'll watch or listen back to things and I'm like, oh, you can't from the exterior tell, but inside I was somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean – kudos to you for being somewhere else and then just being okay.
Pulling it together.
I've made an eye.
Putting a bit vague and then.
I'm just trying to make sure we stand up.
Not
faint. I can totally get it, guys. I just have this moment and it goes. I'm like, I can lose my breath.
I mean, please. Is there a point at 22 when you're realizing that where you think, I've got to give this away? Or are you going, this is making you more determined? Like, I want to get inside your brain at that age. Like,
yes. But not so just at that age, when you were saying it's happened several times.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
You have readdressed that.
There was a book that I read in my early teens, because I was that shy and anxious young girl, called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And it sounds cheesy. I read it and I was like, oh, my God, this really resonates with me. Maybe not everyone is confident and not everyone can go to a party and be the life of the party without booze, or so that kind of became my internal motto, I think, moving forward. And I recognized that being a quiet and shy girl, that I needed to push myself harder. And I recognized, you know, after it took some years to recognize this, that you needed to push through to be able to achieve and grow.
Before getting to that point, though, I imagine there were lots of either self-medication or you trying to push yourself to be an extrovert when you probably weren't. A lot of different things that you may have gone down. Can you tell us a bit about the ways you had to learn to get to that point?
For sure. Well, alcohol was my crutch from the first time I drank at the age of 14. You know, we were going to a school social.
Where did you grow up?
On the Gold Coast. Party town.
Yeah.
So we were having, you know, vodka mixes before that school social, and I still remember that first time, and it was just like the world lit up. It was... at all at once, I was this confident, funny, life of the party girl, Talitha had arrived, basically, and that's how I felt, and I identified with that feeling, and from then on, I couldn't live without, you know, having alcohol at every party, at every, you know, celebration, at every dinner, at wherever. It was just...
Because she became... So that girl under alcohol became who you identified with.
Yes, who I wanted to be.
Right. Yeah.
Who I thought were the better people of the world, you know, shy. You know, I always looked down at myself so much, just thinking, oh, you're just awful, you know, like you're not confident, you're this, you're that, you're not worth anything. But if I could be this other person, then I was worth something.
I can so identify with that. I remember the first time I had a drink, I think it was about 15, 16. There was something in me that I was like, you like this too much.
Yeah. Right.
But that same deal. And then after a while, you kind of almost feel like you're a fraud if you're not that person, because you think, well, everybody's now expecting this wild party girl of me. And if I'm not that, then people are going to be asking questions. So did you feel trapped by that? And what about when you weren't drinking day to day, like, you know, in your work life, for instance? Mm. I mean, how did that kind of go down?
Yeah,
you weren't able to be that party Talitha.
Yeah, sure. So there was a lot of, you know, bravado that was put on, I guess, through work life. I pretended I was this confident kind of person when underneath I was really crumbling. I was scared to ask anyone, you know, for help or whatever. I wanted to appear self-sufficient. So, you know, so I wasn't exposed as a failure or as a fraud. It was a really uncomfortable place to be. And then I'd just wait for those, you know, after work hours so I could go to the bottle shop and drink to release the anxiety that had built up during the day. And it was always so exhausting as well, putting on this front.
Do you think the environment contributed to that, like the newsroom or the commercial media environment?
I think the high pressure.
Not, it doesn't mean that it's for everybody.
Oh, journos are massive drinkers, but so are lawyers, so are stockbrokers, so are Aussies.
Yeah,
you know?
True that.
They just are. But I think it was the high pressure nature of the job, and the fact that I was a quiet and anxious girl, pretending I was an extrovert or living the life of an extrovert, which drove me to seek, you know, solace in alcohol.
How did you start to become who you truly were? Because it's a very big question, but you've explained it so well in this face and this facade of what you put forward. What were the steps that led you to go, okay, I like this, I don't like that, and you know, start to get to know yourself?
It's a good question. I only really, because there were two Talithas, right, in my drinking days. There was the daytime Talitha who would pretend, and then the nighttime Talitha who was just this out loud, outgoing girl. In the end, it became quite messy. But I didn't get to know myself until I stopped drinking. And so the last, I'm 6 years sober in September this year. So it has been a 6-year work in progress.
That's
Thank
unreal.
You. Thank
that's
you.
Huge.
But it's only really, I think, this year that I've felt, you know, that I'm really being myself in all walks of life, like in every single aspect, on the stage, in front of a camera, here today, I can be Talitha and, you know, I don't have to pretend.
How have the people around you and the people close to you,
reacted to that? Because I think sometimes we get so in our heads around like, people are going to real, are people going to know that I've been pretending this whole time? And then sometimes, like, I was sober for 12 months and after you get a few like, oh, why aren't you drinking? Why aren't you drinking? And then after a while you kind of go, oh, nobody actually gives a fuck.
Yes.
Or notices.
Yes.
But was there a pressure from other people around you to, you know, whether it be through work or mates or whatever, to be this version of yourself that ended up being toxic? Or were the people around you in your circle kind of encouraging you to be whoever it was that you truly were?
Yes. I've had some – I've been very fortunate to have some really solid friends, a couple who were from school days, like early school days, and another best friend who worked in the media industry. And she has seen me in all sorts, like the good, bad, and was always incredibly supportive. So I've been so lucky. With that.
Yeah, totally.
But at the time...
Because a lot of the time, a lot of people that go through this kind of stuff completely surround themselves with the wrong people.
Yes, that's right, really to justify.
Yes. To get out.
And I did that to a certain degree, but I still held my my dear friendships pretty close, thankfully. Yeah.
It's so interesting when you think about friendships from that perspective, because we have so much conversation about friendships on this channel and so many of them about breaking up with some of them, forming new friendships. But I do think one thing we haven't touched on enough is probably also really keeping the good ones, you know, because I think we don't give the time to talk about it because not that we take it for granted, but a lot of them are locked and loaded. So they feel pretty good. But I still think there's something to be said that those kinds of friendships change lives. Like those people saw you for you.
My friend Kath, who lives over, she's lived overseas, sort of New York and London more than living here. And we've got the closest friendship. She knows what I'm doing today. She knows what I'm doing tomorrow. And she sent me a bunch of flowers the other day when I was having a crap day. You know, it's just, but she taught me about.
I'm getting so emo. I'm so homesick right now. But it's like, it's so lovely because of these relationships, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just the little things. They should be fostered. You're right.
Yeah.
Totally. For sure. Totally.
Was there a time when you pushed Kath away because she knew who you really were? And that can be really confronting when you're pretending to be somebody and you know that the people that really know your soul, they're not going to take your BS and buy that. I know I've done that in the past where the people that you know are going to hold you accountable, you're not fucking picking up the phone to them because you don't want your shit to be called out.
I think she was the only one that was that she knew everything about me. So I don't think there was any. She held my hand the whole way, which was pretty incredible. But definitely there were people that I pushed away because speaking to them revealed the truth, really. And I wasn't ready to hear the truth for a long time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Why do you think there's such a issue with chicks and binge drinking?
I think it's a big one, the culture, obviously. It is sort of celebrated from an early age. I think it can be a mask for problems. It can be a peer pressure thing. I think it can be like a false reward for, you know, hard work done. Finished exams. Yay. Woo. Let's go and have a massive one. It's complex. I don't think it's black and white. But I think that the peer pressure thing has a lot to do with it because
with girl groups, you think?
I think
that
so.
Kind of catch-up-y.
Yes.
Pack. No, it's not pack because guys have that too.
Yeah.
But I am interested in the chick side of it because I think we have focused a lot on the men and, you know, footy clubs and drinking and all of that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, problems are problems. There's lots of things that can be done in all kinds of genders. But I am intrigued by, because I do think female issues with alcohol is rising really rapidly.
Mm. So the most common question that people ask me is, what do you do about your friends when you stop drinking? What are my friends going to say? Will I lose my friends? That seems to be the biggest concern that people have,
yeah,
which is
God.
An interesting insight into how people, you know, sort
it's
of
view. It says a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
I understand why people might come through with that.
Yes.
I would never ask it, but I think I scarily understand because similar to what you're saying, but then also this cultural bonding thing.
Yes.
That's just really fucked us right up.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, the number of middle-aged women misusing alcohol has doubled in the last 10 years, which is not surprising, and the issues such as more women in the workforce now, mother pressures, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, email, it's a real real mum thing too. Like, mummy deserves this wine, mummy, you know. And then if you're at home all day then you're into two and a half glasses, three glasses, you know, it's an easy spiral.
Yes. And it's fine for some people, but for others who have an addictive, you know, personality, it's, you know, it doesn't end well.
Do you get sick of talking about this?
No, because I'm really determined to change the way we think about it. You know, I just want people to, I want it to be a choice, not an expectation that we drink. I'm not I didn't want to be sober, you know, it was not my ideal.
I don't know whether it's just in this country or just booze in general where things are very black and white. They're very extreme where it's like an alcoholic is a man who's homeless in the park with a brown paper bag.
Yes.
And
I'm
not
keep a job.
Yeah.
And, you know,
or I don't drink Monday to Thursday, but I write myself off Friday to Saturday. But because I don't crave it on a Wednesday, well, I'm not an alcoholic. You know, like, so it's interesting. That doesn't mean that you don't, have issues. And I think that's why I have anyway. You can excuse things for so long. And I think, you know, like, we've had lots of conversations about booze on this podcast, and every now and then you still get messages of people going, should I quit altogether, you know, or should I do this or should I do that, or do you think maybe I can't drink, or does this mean I need to be sober? Like, there's this real kind of extreme way that we see things. You can or you can't, or like, you're an alcohol, or you're completely fine with booze.
Yes.
And I think you can come in and out of both, right?
But definitely.
But I think deep down you also know. I think you know your healthy place.
Yes.
I just don't think everybody admits it to themselves.
For sure. But
that's not always easy.
But when it is a serious addiction, there's a lot of denial there, you know, because I spent a lot of years just thinking, what's wrong with me? What's, you know, maybe I need to be a real estate agent. Maybe I should go back to uni and do psychology and, you know, all these different sorts of things. But the problem was glaring me in the face.
Did you do a program?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was with AA. I still go to AA occasionally, but not as much as I did to begin with. But also Hello Sunday Morning, which I'm an ambassador for. It's such an awesome way for the non-extreme drinkers. You know, maybe someone just wants to have a month off. They join the online community and just talk about it and tell each other what it's like. And
get to know your patterns and things. Yeah. You know, get to know yourself with it. I think you're right in that it's like these kinds of monthly charity things. It's like nothing and then everything.
Yes.
You know, there isn't this, you know, like, conversation with yourself about a day-to-day situation.
Yes.
We were talking about it before we started recording with the balance.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of really like, well, if I take that month off, well, then I'm good for the next 11.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well,
I don't know if that's how it works.
Interesting rationale.
Are we able to talk to you about Channel 7? Can you talk about it?
It's not really something I can talk about.
Mm.
Yeah. I can say that I'm in a happy place about it now. Mm. And I just look, I don't want to look back at something in my life and think negatively about it. Mm. So I'm trying to take all the good things that I had from my career. It was an incredible career.
Mm.
You know, 15 years in television, traveling overseas, presenting, weather reporter, journalist. And I made a lot of good friends there, a lot of good mates that I've still got. And I just don't think it's useful for me to see that in a negative light.
Can I ask you a personal question about driving you to kind of do, you know, look after yourself in those environments? How do you get the balls to do that? Because it is a big industry and it is a juggernaut and it is scary and it's full of money. You know, it's you versus, it might not be media. It might just be a big organization to some degree. How do you find the courage to kind of feel like you go and back yourself like something like that?
Yeah, I think something like that takes a lot of thought and a lot of, you know, talking with family and family friends. And it was, it's
so
obviously
rallied a bit of a personal
for sure.
Support.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a big support network around me anyway, and people whose opinions I respect. And, you know, I just found, I found that was the way to go. Might not be for everyone, but yeah, that's where I sort of ended up.
It's so interesting, without knowing the ins and outs, without even speaking about it, it gives strength. Like it really does. You know, it there's just so much that you get from action, and you don't need to go into the details, but the action of it is really inspiring, I must say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I just think it's, for women, we deserve better. You know, we deserve to be treated well.
I think everybody knows that, but I don't think everybody is able to do it. And fair enough too, because it's hard. But it should be said, you know, like the action is what really is the important part here. Because it's not, that's not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing at all.
Yeah.
How did being a mum change you?
It was like God, I'm not like religious or anything, but it was like I had this little chip implanted in my brain of confidence and self-worth and backing myself. It was like
I
had that.
I've got shivers on my arms then.
It was it's the most incredible thing. That's the only way I can describe it. It's like
power.
I value myself now, you know? And I've got this little dude, this little human to look after, and yeah, I'm enough.
Yeah, because he chose you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's stunning. Yeah. Because I think there's so much around heading into this place, and I certainly am somebody that's dancing around this place. And there's so much to fear, I think, to some degree, especially if you're career-oriented and mums are really put in a box and all this kind of stuff. But people don't talk about, because then you hear all of that, then people go away, have a baby, and then generally come back a year later and are like power women. You know, think about our generation and women that are working now, right? They go, they have their babies, it's hard, they feel confused, they look a bit like, will I be back? Like, it's like hectic.
And then they be
back. We're all getting these messages of, you're in a box, see ya, and then they come back and they've like done some incredible thing, like or got this amazing job that you didn't know anything about. Or so what you say, it's like, I don't think many people say it. They probably more put it into action. But it is interesting, because I don't think we've truly really honed in on this new generation of women becoming mothers.
Yes. And in that way, I feel like I have so much more to offer the world and a new perspective and a fresh perspective because of it. That's why we need to treat mothers with love and care, because what they are doing, they're not only bringing a human into the world, but they're feeling empowered and feeling, you know, differently after birth.
Yeah.
Did you, like, how did you feel before becoming a mum? Like, was there any, you know, fear around how will this change, or will I be a different person?
Yes.
Like, obviously, as you just said, it will change you forever for the better. You sound like you're more yourself than you've ever been.
Yes, it's so weird.
So, Yeah. So, but obviously you weren't always feeling like that.
No.
Because of what we're
no.
kind of told.
Yeah. No. Like I worked in the TV industry for 15 years. You know, I was you're always worried that a younger, more beautiful, talented person is going to come along. Yeah. Come along and take your job. And so many fears and irrational fears and, oh, I need to lose weight or I need to put on weight. Or, I need to do this. Not put on weight. And I do that just with looking at food. But, you know, so many fears and anxieties. And now it's just like a thought bubble, you know, thought comes into my head and I go, who cares?
Was there a moment when you first realised that since after yes. having your boy where you go, oh, baby, this is what's there. Here's the change.
Yeah. I just
I don't give a fuck.
Thought,
catch you later, bro. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It was a very obvious feeling that I had. And it's not like that for everyone. I recognise that, you know, mothers do struggle after birth, but that's how it was for me. Yeah. You know, it really changed me. I think my struggle was pre having a baby and post, it's really changed
into
me.
Into yourself.
Yeah. Well, you sound like, you've gone through a lot of stuff and self-discovery before you get to that point too.
Yes.
Which people do at different points of their lives.
For sure.
Now, Talitha, we need to wrap up this chat, but tomorrow's show we call a Posse Podcast, which is where one of our Posse members writes in with basically something they want us to have a D&M about on their life. Would you be happy to stick around and help someone out?
Of course, I'd love to.
So tomorrow we're going to hear from Esther. She wants to talk to us about how she is aware that she wants to take care of herself emotionally and physically, but she really struggles to stay on track. So we'll come back tomorrow with Talitha Cummins and give Esther and as you guys as well some advice on that. Because I think I'll be up for hearing what you have to say. I'm like,
for sure.
Definitely. We'll be talking about balance before
Heaps.
It's quite hard. So we'll all right, give a bit of an idea.
Tomoz.
Talitha Cummins, you can find her on Instagram at Talitha Cummins, double M, or Facebook. Or visit her at her website, talithacummins.com.au. It's been unreal.
An absolute pleasure, girls. Such a lovely conversation. Nice. Thanks, Talitha.
Thanks, lovely.
Thank you.
Did you love this podcast, but you want to chat about it more? Make sure you go to the Thinker Girls on Facebook, that's obviously us, and Insta, because that's where we're going to be continuing this convo with you, Posse.
Yes, we want to know what you think, Posse. So every week we'll be breaking down our podcast content across social media so you have an opportunity to share your opinions.
Plus, we're on Insta stories every damn day, so you get to come along with us for this crazy TG ride.
Yeah, Merce. Head to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or even Twitter to find us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.